As Eskom announces earlier than expected load shedding this evening, courtesy of breakdowns on the power grid, further breakdowns of the power grid. They also did issue a statement today. There was a long press conference, and Jan Oberholzer, the chief operating officer, was due to talk to us this evening. But my assumption is that he has gone off to go and deal with this particular short-term crisis. They announced today that they've seen suspensions and possible arrests of key staff at the Tutuka power station for, amongst other things, neglect, which is desperately concerning there, of course, as well. Well, on to something far more palatable and far more pleasing. South Africa's most global company, it's Aspen Pharmacare. It's got operations in more than 50 countries, and it's ramping up not only its vaccine capacity, but it's also adding to its anesthetics production capability in South Africa as well. Dr. Stavros Nicolaou is senior executive responsible for strategic trade development at Aspen Pharmacare, on the line to us from Gqeberha this evening, where you've been unveiling all sorts of plans today, Stavros. First things first, you currently got capacity to produce 250 million vaccines a year, not just the J&J COVID stuff, but other vaccines too. Your plans to ramp that up, is it all happening in Gqeberha, up to 1.3 billion doses by 2024?
Bruce, firstly, thanks very much for having me on the show again. And you're quite correct. The current capacity that we've indicated for contract manufacturing of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine is up to 300 million doses. The minister today, in his address at the unveiling of the new anesthetic line, indicated that trade statistics had realized over 100 million doses of Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine had been manufactured at Aspen's Gqeberha facility. And the indications that you gave earlier around our ability and potential to expand is also accurate. So we are looking in the short term, and that's February next year, 4 or 5 months away, to expand immediate capacity from 300 to 450 million doses of vaccine.
And then by 2024, of course, get it up to 1.3 billion. The anesthetics, you call it, I think, your sterile focus brands. You've got anesthetic and thrombosis products in there, but anesthetics are a key focus on this one as well. And that is a new line for this Gqeberha plant, is it?
It is, Bruce. And in fact, it's off the back of what is South Africa's single biggest ever pharmaceutical investment that Aspen made. We commenced with that investment in 2018. This is a culmination of it, what we saw today. And a very important aspect of this investment is our general anesthetic manufacturing capability. This now turns Gqeberha into one of the most important and one of the largest manufacturing sites for general anesthetics globally. That's outside of the United States. So it's indeed a very proud and monumental achievement, I think, for both Aspen and our country.
Why do you put the focus there? I mean, you have got operations in 50 countries around the world. You're choosing to put that focus here. Why?
A couple of reasons, Bruce. I think, firstly, we had existing sterile capabilities. So this is an expansion on those existing capabilities. We were, you might recall, making or producing eye drops for the United States. I think we are one of the largest, if not the largest, eye drop producers or exporters to the United States. So it made a lot of sense from a synergy perspective to have this expanded sterile investment at Gqeberha. But I think also there are a number of other important considerations here, including the skills element. We've spent over 2 decades investing in skills and competencies at our facility in Gqeberha, and it made a lot of sense from that perspective as well.
I mean, your sterile focus brands, this is the anesthetic and thrombosis products, it's one of your key businesses. It contributes 28% of group revenue worldwide. How much of that is in South Africa? I'm just trying to work out how, in the world of Aspen, how significant this investment is that you are announcing today.
Well, firstly, The portfolio of products that you've mentioned, the 28% of revenue amounts to around 10 billion rand. That's in sales. That's in sales revenue.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, South Africa domestically is a very small consumer of that. So most of what gets produced on this manufacturing line, this new manufacturing line, will be for export. 95% or more will be for export geographies and jurisdictions. So it's actually a very small domestic element, but I think attractive for the country in that it will significantly boost exports. Right now, we are importing all of these products, and part of our plans here were to relocate the manufacture from external jurisdictions back into South Africa. And I think, Bruce, you probably know, we've discussed this previously, the pharmaceutical sector has been saddled with a rising trade deficit over many, many years, in fact, many decades. The order of that is around 39 billion rand. So we're 39 billion in the red when it comes to pharmaceuticals because we're importing so much. And this will make some dent against that 39 billion rand deficit.
Is this start of something bigger, or is this it for now? I mean, you talk about trying to reduce that trade deficit because we import so many components from places like India, which are it's the epicenter of so much of the world's component manufacture for so many of the drugs that go into the medications we use. Is this part of a longer term ramp up, or is where does this fit?
So, Bruce, I think there are two aspects to your question. I mean, we need to deal with the most immediate. I think we need to more aggressively implement localization policy in the pharmaceutical sector. We talk a lot about it as a country, but we do very little. So, you know, antiretrovirals are a case in point. We're the single biggest consumer of ARVs in the world, yet we import 70% of our ARVs. I mean, that's counterintuitive. So that was part of the discussion with Minister Patel today, was to say we need to more aggressively implement localization, and where there are entities and or officials that are not doing this, they need to be held accountable. The second aspect to the response is that, you know, Aspen, as you correctly pointed out today, is looking to expand its vaccine capabilities and capacities. Implicit in that would be diversifying potentially into other vaccines. And then also, you know, Stephen Starr's gone on record publicly to say that we have a very keen, more than a keen interest in developing the drug substance for these vaccines in South Africa.
And what is forgive my complete and utter ignorance, developing the drug substance, making up the components, taking these chemicals from raw to something usable, to the powders and potions sort of stage?
Yeah, that's correct, Bruce. And in fact, a bigger opportunity resides for the country. And one of the discussions we had today with the minister was the potential to develop what we call an end-to-end pharmaceutical supplier park, akin to what you have in the motor industry in China.
Yeah.
So it's a travesty that we're importing things like ampules and vials, the basic glass vials, the rubber stoppers that you put on these vaccine vials. Those are all imported. Now, we could have a whole up and downstream supplier park that you could have contiguous to the SEZ in Kabega, or in the Eastern Cape at least, that would not only give us access to drug substance, but certainly could develop other up and downstream sectors as well.
What stops you? Why do you need to talk to the minister about it? What needs to be put in place for it to happen?
Well, I think you've got to, you know, you've got to attract these investors. And to attract investors, you've got to give them what we would loosely call an economic package.
Yeah.
So most of our peers operate out of special economic zones where there's certain tax concessions, there's funding that's made available. Very often they call it soft loans. There's infrastructure subsidies. So you have to put yourself in a competitive position as South Africa and the pharma sector so that we can compete. So a partnership with government in this respect is very important, not because we want an unnecessary leg up or any handouts here, but what we do need to do is compete globally.
We've done it with the motor trade. We've done it with the motor trade, Roslyn and that part of Pretoria, the Eastern Cape, Uitenhage with Volkswagen, and we've got East London, Buffalo City with Mercedes-Benz. I mean, there is precedent. It's not like this is a crazy idea. It can happen.
There is most definitely precedent, and the supplier park in China is actually a very good example, and Ford, in fact, is a very good example. And that's what we're looking to replicate as far as we can.
Wonderful. And then you would, I'm assuming, out of this factory in Gqeberha, use the Ngqura port for your exports, because I think it's pretty efficient and is working quite well at the moment.
It is, Bruce. And you asked me earlier, why invest in Gqeberha, why invest in South Africa? So I think there is the infrastructural support around our plant and around our site, and we're quite happy with that infrastructurally. There are challenges around water and electricity. I was listening to the previous speaker, but I think we are working with local and provincial government to transcend those challenges.
Stavros Nicolaou, thank you. You've got a plane to catch from Gqeberha this evening on his way back to KZN, the senior executive responsible for strategic trade development at Aspen Pharmacare. Fascinating discussion. Really interesting. So many moving parts. Ramping up production of a whole range of pharmaceuticals with potential eyes, of course, onto growth in the future.